Blog Talk Radio.
And now on Blog Talk, it's time for Rendezvous with Maggie, featuring Maggie DeVera. Maggie is a well-respected therapist with a successful practice in the San Francisco Bay Area, and she is also the founder and president of Realizing Our Youth as Leaders Incorporated, a nonprofit agency that prepares the most disadvantaged and at-risk youth for life and leadership. Maggie is also a licensed marriage family therapist, psychotherapist, clinical master hypnotherapist, sex expert, clinical supervisor, trainer, speaker, and consultant to musicians, fans, and actors. Maggie brings you expertise and advice on topics that impact each and every one of us in our everyday lives. Rendezvous with Maggie offers vital information that helps you understand yourself and others while providing skills and tools to optimize the experience of life's journey. And now, here is Maggie DeVera.
Hi, good evening, everyone. Welcome to today's show on Rendezvous with Maggie, with me, your host, Maggie DeVera. Today is Tuesday, August 13, and it's 6 p.m. here in California. And, you know, first I wanted to thank everyone's patience for waiting for this next episode. We had a wonderful, wonderful event for the Royal Unity Gala, and but it took quite a bit out of me, and some of the health issues I go through kind of hits me harder than other times. And so I was out again, but I was looking forward to getting enough energy to come back. So here I am, and happy to be here. So today we are going to be discussing issues of betrayal and feeling disillusioned or being fooled. And the other important aspect of it is what we can do with that, and how we can move on and find healing. And because the reality is, I don't think, I always say be careful of saying all or nothing or never, always. This time I can say, for the most part, I think everyone has experienced feelings of or being betrayed or feeling disillusioned. And it can have all kinds of different flavors. You know, I jotted a few down. This can never represent all the types, but you know, we can experience getting into a relationship with someone who completely misrepresented themselves, or you realize the person you knew or you thought you knew was not who you realized they were. And that can run the gamut between lying about, you know, certain things. It can be about little quirks they have. It can be about their lifestyle. It can be about their values. They can say that they value this or that because they know that that's your value, and later you realize it's not. They can lie about their about having children or family issues, about vices, whether they have issues with drinking or drugs or addictions. You know, you can be lied to about past relationships or backgrounds or their background. And, you know, it can run the gamut from that to just an outright lie of who they are. I think there's that show when I was telling one of my close friends about this episode, she kept saying catfish, catfish, catfish. So there's the whole new term of catfish where people represent themselves as someone who they are completely not on the internet. And many people have gotten into relationships with these individuals or situations and have been very harmed, not only emotionally, but in many other ways, financially, especially. You know, and then there's the sociopaths that, that's a whole other story, but I definitely know some examples there. Other types of things that where one can feel betrayed or disillusioned or fooled, definitely being cheated on or infidelity, where the promises are broken, where, you know, love is expressed and commitment, and then that is compromised or broken. Being lied to, obviously, we talked about that. Being scammed or hustled. Other types, you know, when you trust someone with something very private or personal and it was compromised. This can be with family, friends, coworkers. You can be set up by coworkers or a boss. You know, there's just so many, right? And so today's episode, we're going to focus more on the romantic aspects, the dating aspects of someone that you're involved with. And why I decided to do this episode is because it's rampant. I mean, it's like I said, I can say that everyone has experienced some sort of betrayal, and a majority of people have experienced betrayal or feeling disillusioned by someone they cared for or cared for them. You know, especially with the veracity and how quickly relationships just kind of turn around nowadays, and technology, you know, it's really easy to kind of come and go. And you know, with technology, it's easy to be more detached or less directly involved with someone because of the internet or texting or social media or dating sites. It's just there's a lot more that goes around nowadays. And the other part of it, of why I've decided to do this episode, is just because I know many, many, many people that go through it. People who are extremely close. And some very harsh stories. You know, I've experienced it, and on many levels, I've been guilty of some of it too. But not cheating on a partner. That I haven't done, and I hope never to, because I'm so against it being done to me. But, you know, not being perfect can definitely make us guilty of doing not so noble stuff in times in life. And so, going on, what are the whats, whys, and hows of this whole issue, and then how to move on and heal, right? So sometimes in life, you know, we hope or we wish or we pray that the right person comes into our lives. And sometimes we set standards for ourselves, what we want and what we don't want. And then all of a sudden, someone comes in and just sweeps you off your feet. And you find the things that you wanted, and there are things that are said or that you see that just kind of make you melt. You know, you kind of get on this high, the cloud nine feeling. And then you can also find things that can be red flags for you, but yet things can feel so good at that time that you just kind of rationalize it away. And that's what allows us to kind of be vulnerable, to be much more easily fooled, betrayed, or disillusioned. And so why are some of these, why can we be? Just a few things to note. You know, we can be just naive. We can be naive to the world or the negativities. We can be kind of still innocent, or we can be very well-intended and compassionate, and we just don't think people would do that. We can be used to bad stuff happening. We're just so used to feeling low or seeing negative stuff, and this looks and feels and sounds either decent or great, but an improvement from what we think we're going through right now, or what we think that it's an improvement based on what we went through or currently going through until that person comes into our life. Sometimes we know better and we can see a lot of the red flags, but we ignore it because it feels too good. And or because we're lonely, or we're just needing the affection or the stimulation, or you know, there's that neediness that exists. You know, there are times that you know we can just think that they'll change. So it's kind of like I don't know how many times people have said, "Well, I've got to change him, or he'll change, or she'll change, or they'll change." and so you have that belief that things won't stay bad, right? You have the hope and belief they'll change. Other times we'll just work so caught up in the fantasy of the life we want, or what this person can represent in our life, and we can romanticize a lot of the experiences. Another thing is that we're just codependent. We just need people to need us, or need to. Our sense of control is by being with someone who is lower functioning than us. Therefore, we think that they won't leave us because they have more issues and we're better. And so we can rationalize their stuff. We feel we can change their life. We can make them better. And codependency is very rampant as well. And then another thing is that we can feel guilty of our own scandalous stuff. And so sometimes we either kind of feel we deserve it, or it's not as much of a big deal when we see it happening, or, you know, we think it's karma. Here are some of the things that, you know, we might hear ourselves saying. See if these are things that's ever crossed your mind. Something like, yeah, he or she has issues, but everyone does. No one's perfect. I know I'm not perfect. or, you know, he or she had it rough. They've had it really rough in their life, or they're having a rough time right now, or they had a rough childhood. Or sometimes we can even blame their ex. Well, it's because of, you know, his ex or her ex. He's so jaded and I need to prove to him that I'm not like that. Or, you know, you may still have that mentality of kind of you being the savior, where you can kind of feel, well, now that I'm here, I can help them. I can help him or I can help her because they need me. And I will support them, and I know better, and I will guide them and help them change. I can help them change. Or that, you know, you can think no one's ever believed in him or her, but I do. So because of that, he has hope or she has hope, and she's gonna change. So, there's just a lot of different things that we can say to ourselves. Sometimes we'll just pray really, really hard to make someone change. We want the other person to change. We're not doing as much changing, but they need to change. So you just keep praying and you believe, you have faith that with prayer, they'll change, that things will be different. And so, now that I've kind of run the list, these are actually very rational explanations. These are actually accurate, rational explanations. And everyone has the ability to grow and evolve. Someone had once said to me, "You don't really believe people change, do you?" And I couldn't believe they asked me that because I'm a therapist and I see it. And I see it all the time. I see miracles all the time. I see small miracles, big miracles. I see massive changes and shifts and transitions. And so, the things that I have mentioned can all be very accurate in our justification or rationalizing the things that may be red flags for us. We ourselves are guilty of many things. So, you know, we'd want someone to be compassionate and understanding and non-judgmental about our stuff. And so, I mean, is it right to be open and compassionate and forgiving and non-judgmental? Absolutely, yes. That is the way we need to live our life if we don't want to live in this dark or black hole that we call life, that we would call life if we are not open or non-forgiving or very judgmental. But then where do we draw the line? Where do we draw the line? And so here are some things. When you're making more excuses for them, and you're making excuses for them constantly, you're trying to explain their behaviors to others, you're trying to make other people understand them, or sometimes when you feel they tell you or you feel you're the only one who understands or sees it or sees the issue, yet you're also usually the target or recipient of the repercussions or negative outcomes. You can be the one that understands and will support them, but then, you know, you need to take a look at whether you are kind of targeted for the negative stuff. I don't know if that will make as much sense. I'll move on a little bit more. Maybe it'll be clearer. When you find yourself on an emotional roller coaster or this kind of never-ending cycle with minimal to no changes, it's just kind of the same thing over and over again. Sometimes you will, you know, be experiencing the highs and the great feelings and kind of like clockwork or a pattern. The rug gets pulled up from under you again. or you will be feeling happy and then something happens and you feel devastated or disappointed or promises have been broken. So it's just kind of, like I said, an emotional roller coaster or a never-ending cycle. And the part to look at is that there's minimal or no changes that happen, right? And if there are changes, is it acceptable to you? Is it okay for you, right? Another thing is, you know, taking a look at whether you've lost a lot, whether you've lost, there's a lot of loss in your life, whether it's friends, money, significant things of significance to you, your own self, your self-worth, your freedom, your, you know, you're feeling lost, you've lost yourself, yet they haven't. You know, they seem to kind of gain things versus you losing. And also when you're feeling so miserable and depressed far more often than not, because, you know, in relationships we affect each other. It's an emotional thing. So we're going to feel high, we're going to feel happy, we're going to feel sad, we're going to feel depressed. But you have to take a look at whether you're far more miserable and depressed than not, or even anxious. Kind of, are you feeling a lot of stress? Are the things that are you're dealing with in life that can be related to or stemming from your relationship? Is it stressful? Is it anxiety provoking? So again, it's kind of far more often than not. You know, when and where do we draw the line? When you're feeling alone and unsupported in most things, despite the fact that you have a partner, or when you find that you're kind of doing almost everything, that you're putting in far more work than the other person, or again, not feeling supported, yet you try to constantly support. And then when, and this is big because this is something that I've seen, well, I've experienced quite a bit recently, and also people that I'm very close to, is when you're hearing kind of all talk and minimal action, right? All talk, you know, where the walk doesn't match the talk. Because I always say the words are easy. And, you know, I'm not one that will want to keep confronting an issue, but I'll kind of sit back and observe. And that's very important. I will sit back and observe. I'll bring up the issues when I think that it needs to be addressed, and then kind of, again, sit back and observe, right? So looking, and I remember my dad had once said to me, listen to the words that are said and make your own discreet observations and research. Don't always take everything at face value. Try to give some benefit of the doubt, but look for the actions. Okay. And so what I mentioned, those were, I said, you know, where can you draw the line? Those are things to look at, unless everything I mentioned is okay with you. Whether you're, if you're okay with it, then, you know, and it doesn't bother you or affect you emotionally, mentally, physically, spiritually, or financially, you know, then it's only an issue if you feel it's an issue. Yet, if it doesn't bother you, based on what I had kind of mentioned before, like the past few things I've talked about, there may be another issue that's going on with you, something that you might want to look at, which is going to be hard, because if that issue is denial and avoidance, that may be something you'd probably avoid looking at anyway. Codependency is something that is rampant with the stuff that I've mentioned as well. I mentioned codependency a few times. So what betrayal can do to us? You know, let me check my... Okay. I was checking my board to see if there's a question. I have a few things on my inbox and Facebook that I wanted to get to. And I'll get to that later. But so, where was I? Okay, so what are some of the things that, what can betrayal do to us? You know, obviously we can feel pain and hurt. You know, it can be so hurtful and painful to the point that we can close ourselves off to trust or love or hope. We become jaded, we become bitter. Other times we can also project it onto others, the experience that we have had. We can carry that baggage onto the next relationship if we haven't done our own work. And sometimes find things that may not be there or accuse someone of or your new partner if they... even though there's nothing really there to point to it. So projection on others. Being resentful and bitter is basically can keep you extremely unhappy and depressed and anxious. And, you know, unfortunately, one thing begets more. So if you are at that place, you can just spiral into more unhappiness, more bitterness, more depression, more anxiety, and things can just mount and mount and mount. And years later, you could be carrying so much toxic feelings and emotions that you just don't even know how to be happy anymore. You just kind of go around in life distrustful and bitter, and that is a dark place. You know, that's where I probably say the saying about twice a week, or no, maybe once a week. But it's the saying of it's not the snake bite that kills you, but the venom that stays in your system, right? So that's something that I constantly carry around, even regarding my own stuff when I think about stuff or when I'm even dealing with people who are going through stuff. I remind myself or them of that notion. So again, going back to what betrayal can do to us, you know, the hurt that can push us to the point of feeling like we're worthless, or our self-esteem or our self-worth or self-confidence is obliterated or lowered. We just don't believe in ourselves anymore. We don't have that appreciation or gratitude about our own self. And, you know, unfortunately, if we don't have that for ourselves, you know, we're not going to be attracting good, positive people or partners in our life. We'll be attracting people who have the same type of level of self-esteem, self-worth, and self-confidence. And that can create a whole other thing of a multitude of issues in relationships and experiences. So it's really important that we constantly work towards being grateful and appreciating ourselves. And anyway, I'm skipping. I'll get back to that. Another thing is we can become very numb or detached or hard. Someone that I'm very, very close to that went through something extremely painful. And she is just like a light. She's so beautiful and such a good person and very trusting and caring and compassionate. And she was just blindsided by someone that she really cared for and loved, and that person kind of promised her the world as well. And one of the number one things she kept saying while she was very upset was, she said, "I just don't want to be hard. I don't want to be hard." And that really hit me, because in where it's so easy to become angry and bitter and resentful during times of feeling so betrayed. I mean, this was pretty harsh. Or the person that she cared for was just really absolutely not, I mean, had lied for all the years they were together and misrepresented everything. And just, it was pretty hard. But the number one thing was that she just didn't want to become a hard, negative person. And I will say, as I watched her, you know, kind of go through this healing, that even though things have been painful for her, I don't see her suffering, and that she kind of bounced back in a real beautiful way with still hope, a lot of hope and openness. And she didn't turn hard, but there was definitely more, I would say, strength and wisdom that I definitely see now. But anyway, I keep skipping to the next topic. So those are some of the things, you know. And then another thing is that we can also end up doing the same thing to others when we've been betrayed or cheated on or hurt. Sometimes people will kind of end up taking on that pattern and doing it to others. It's almost like they have to mirror or mimic that behavior, unfortunately. And then the cycle continues of betrayal and hurt. And, you know, again, I always say hurt people hurt people. People who've been hurt tend to hurt people. Sometimes even when they don't expect to. I mean, I try to think of myself as someone who is not intentionally malicious, or wanting to hurt people for no reason. And yet I'm sure there could have been times in my life where I have been perceived as doing that, or being malicious or negative. And we don't know. Sometimes we're just acting subconsciously. Anyway, that's making excuses. That's totally going against what my point is. So I'm going to get back to this. So why does it happen? I started to kind of rationalize a second ago, and then I stopped myself because I want to stay focused on this issue. Why does it happen? Why do people betray one another? Why do people fool one another? Why do we get to a place of being disillusioned? And this is kind of piggybacking on what I was just talking about. The reality is that people just have issues, and we can't expect everyone to just do right by us all the time. And the responsibility really kind of lays on us. We've got to be smart and take care of ourselves. And actually, there are times that as smart as we are and as great as we are taking care of ourselves, people will do some shady stuff. People will do some things that just, you know, we never expected it. We believed in them. We were trusting. And actually, it's going through these kind of traumas that just really make you smarter in life. You know, people who have gone through some of the hardest stuff in life are really far smarter and wiser than others. So, anyway, so there's that. Why do people do it? Sometimes there's just a lack of maturity or a lack of conscience. Sometimes there can be a sense of entitlement, or, you know, entitlement, like, well, I want that, so I'm going to do that, or I deserve that. You know, the lack of maturity also kind of, and conscience can also kind of piggyback with that, where they just kind of don't think about the repercussions or the pain that can be involved. Their inability to have the integrity and see, you know, the, or treat people the way they would want to be treated. You know, sometimes people have misguided or different values. I say misguided because different values, I just don't think it's okay to fool and lie, although many people do, and I don't want to use that as a crutch to excuse it. You know, I think I've shared in my past, I've shared in other stories, I am sorry, in other shows that, you know, when I was young, I used to lie all the time. I could come up with some really interesting stories, and it was kind of in my early 20s where something had happened, and I just was humiliated, and I hated it, and I didn't like myself, and just made a commitment to work towards being honest at all times and having integrity. That definitely has made a huge change in my life. But sometimes people just don't know. People don't, you know, I was able to justify why I lied back then, or why I would tell stories. But I was immature. I had seen a lot of stuff that kind of made it okay for me, that made me think it was okay to do it. So, anyway, and that had shaped some of those values, but they were misguided. You know, there are some that will betray you or fool you or create an illusion because they're driven for something where there's some self-gain, right? Whether it's financial or sexual or status, or, you know, they it gives them a sense of control. It helps them feel better about themselves. So there's some of that. And the other part of it, and I say this, and I really don't want people to think that I'm dramatizing this, but this is very real, is that sometimes there are people that just are sociopathic. People that you would never think is sociopathic, but they are. There's a real lack of conscience or moral values. And, you know, if you don't know, you know, just kind of Google it, psychopath or sociopath. And unfortunately, I have seen this too often. I had, I don't want to go into too much detail because I don't want to give any possible hints of who I'm talking about. But you know, I mean, the smartest people I know, or people, strongest people I know, can be fooled. And sometimes, they, you know, you just can't, you can't do anything about that. But what you do with it afterwards is what makes all the difference in the world. What you do with all this stuff and can is what can change your life, right? Okay, so I'm going to take a quick break, and we'll come back and discuss some of the things of what to do. And if anyone wants to call in, I'm going to just review some of the answers that I got, and I'll read that in a second, or when I come back. All right, stay tuned for a commercial on Royal.
Have you always wanted to make a difference but weren't quite sure how to do it? Royal, or Realizing Our Youth as Leaders, Inc., is a nonprofit agency dedicated to preparing youth for life and leadership. Royal was created in response to a great need for providing effective services for the most disadvantaged and high-risk youth who are consistently falling through the cracks. Royal has been successful in reaching the most challenging kids in the community with their innovative, creative, and therapeutic approaches, serving youth who have experienced significant abuse, neglect, abandonment, and living life through harsh conditions. Royal needs your help. To help sponsor a child and support the hard work and mission of Royal, visit their website at www.royalinc.org. That's royalinc.org. Or call 415-643-7117. That's 415-643-7117. Royal, helping our youth.
Hi, everyone. Okay, we're back. We're going to be discussing what to do after betrayal. Some of this might sound confusing and contradicting, and if it does, please feel free to email me or contact me and ask for clarification, because I'm trying to make it as clear as possible, yet it's somewhat complex, in that the first thing that I touch on is trying to find a balance between taking responsibility for your actions, for your stuff, versus not blaming yourself. Okay, I'll say that again. Finding a balance between taking responsibility for your actions, your own stuff, what you said, what you did, what you didn't do, what you didn't say, versus not taking the blame, not blaming yourself. Okay, because the reality is you can't blame yourself for someone taking advantage, fooling, or betraying you. You can't own someone else's wrongdoing. They're wrong, and they have to contend with those issues themselves. Those are things that's their own stuff. But you know, there's that saying, and it's not literal, but you know, shame on you. What's that? No, I said it wrong. You screw me once, shame on you. You screw me twice, shame on me. Well, twice is kind of pushing it, but I would say, you know, they keep screwing you over, then it's something that you've got to take a look at. My dad had once said to me, what is the difference between a fool and a wise man? And I said, I don't know. And he said, you know, the wise man makes the mistake once. And, of course, that's not to be taken literal either. But the reality is that the wise person is who learns from their own stuff. And how to do that is by taking responsibility of your actions. and some questions to ask yourself. You know, first make what I always do is make a list of what you could have done differently. I always say what you did right and what you could have done differently. So in this list, make a list of what you could have done differently now that you know, right? Because, you know, looking back, things are clearer. Hindsight's 20/20. We look back and everything's clearer, hopefully. So, you know, the questions to ask yourself were the signs in front of me this whole time, but I just didn't want to see it. Right? Were the signs in front of me this whole time? And then list down what those signs were, right? Then the reason I say you need to focus on this is because you just want to learn the lessons. Avoiding it, not wanting to discuss it, being in denial about it, is only going to have you repeat the same issue over and over again, which is why in almost every one of my shows, I drill in the point of needing for all of us to take responsibility for our stuff. And those who kind of are constantly in the victim mode, constantly in the poor me, or they're constantly getting into the same predicament where they are really victimized, it's because they don't take a look at what they've done. They're very focused on, you know, the other person doing bad stuff, the other person doing the wrong stuff. And although there can be some sort of vindication in that, you can say, well, I didn't do something wrong to them, it was them who did something wrong to me. Vindication or not, you're the one that's suffering. So, you know, deal with it now and take a look at it and take responsibility now, or be in denial and avoid it and repeat this throughout your lifetime. The hope is that life gets better as we get smarter and time passes and become more life experienced, right? Again, make a note that if you are in the same predicament, different person, same situation, then that's something that that you need to look at what you're doing to create that. Okay, you know, another thing to look at is sometimes we can be so angry about feeling betrayed or feeling lied to, or that we were lied to. But, you know, something to look at is, were you lying to yourself? Was I lying to myself because I wanted to believe the stuff? Or was I lying to myself so I can avoid the reality and live in more of the fantasy type thing? Or was I lying to myself so I can avoid the pain, right? Or the struggles or the hardships involved? And I always say, when you look at pain or struggles, look at it big picture and little and small picture, right? Because small picture, sometimes we just can't avoid that stuff. You know, things are going to be something someone says that hurts our feelings, or something someone does, versus big picture where it affects our life, or it affects our livelihood or our self-worth. The big stuff, right? Can we accept ourselves? Can we look at ourselves in the mirror and be okay with who we are? Okay. So another thing is, you know, did I address the concerns or issues that bothered me? You know, were you able to bring it up? And if so, were there agreements reached? Was there mutual compromise? Was there an understanding? And this is important, behaviors that backed it up, right? Were there behaviors that you saw that backed it up? And if not, you know, you have to look at what your own stuff of why was it, what was it that made you stay? And this is not, what was it that made you stay? What was the motivation? What was the reasons of why you allowed it to continue, you know, with it, if you were able to address the issues or concerns and you didn't see any changes or you didn't get any compromise or agreements reached, definitely no behaviors that backed it up. What was it that made you stay? And please do not think that this is to put blame on yourself. It's really to get a clearer understanding of why you make the choices that you make, right? Was it a conscious decision? Was it a subconscious decision? Was it a pattern? These are things all to help you learn about yourself, right? And the important part of this, because I say don't find the blame, it's to help you understand yourself and gain more compassion for yourself in terms of why you allowed things and acknowledge these things or issues for you and why you allowed things and then acknowledge these are issues for you to focus on and work through, right? Because if you don't, it's going to repeat itself over and over and over again. I keep saying this. I keep repeating myself over and over again. Until you acknowledge the issues, try and find the answers, learn some lessons, and work towards evolving, right? And I always say it's never too late. You know, your story is your story. I've talked about in other shows about changing your story so that you won't always think of yourself as the poor victim and that things just can never be changed. You know, work towards evolving. As long as you're alive, the story's not over, right? And when we work towards evolving and learning lessons and acknowledging our issues, you know, this definitely entails pushing yourself outside your comfort zone. It's not comfortable. It can be painful. It can be humiliating. It can be shameful. It can be, I mean, you can feel guilty. And that part, you know, that part we'll talk about in terms of healing but later, but you have to take a look at your stuff, right? It's acknowledge it's not going to be comfortable, but it's far better that you get to this point now than carrying it, you know, for many years of your life or most years of your life, which I see all the time. Hold on one second. I'm just going to check the studio. Okay. Let me see. I mentioned earlier, identify what you did right. Make a list. Make a list of the stuff that you felt good about, right? And things to consider, if this is true for yourself, is that you were open to love. You opened yourself. And that takes a lot of strength. You have to be strong to do that. Being open to love, being authentic, and being genuine, you know, treating someone the way you'd want to be treated, coming from a place of love and hope, right? And unfortunately, even though you did or tried to do the right things, not everyone will do right by you. Yet, as weak as this may sound, doing the right thing only benefits you. Because when you give love or you show love, it's never a waste in the big picture unless you fill yourself up with bitterness and resentment, right? When you can continue to come from a place of love, you know, just like the person I had mentioned earlier, she said one of the things, the first thing she said was, I don't want to be hard. I don't want to be hard. And God, she still is, as traumatizing as that situation was, she is so full of light still and so loving and so fun and, I mean, truly heroic for me to see that, the recovery and the healing. Very inspirational. So, anyway. So, like I said, when you give love or you show love, it's never a waste in the big picture versus the opposite, that's being bitter or closed or negative, because that only harms you, right? It harms you more than anyone else. Identify the lessons you've learned from this whole experience. Some of the smartest and wisest individuals are those who've gone through the worst. I said that earlier, but... I know all of my wisdom and things where I feel I'm smarter in now is definitely based on the hard stuff. And of course, we don't want to go through that stuff, but there's definitely a consolation at the end of it, well, you know, when we can put things in a healthy perspective. You know, other things, oh, geez, I'm going to end soon. If it's an option, now what, this is after being betrayed or feeling disillusioned or fooled, you know, you're going to have to figure out what you want to do if it's an option. Sometimes it's not an option. Well, many times it's not an option, but what to do with the relationship or that person. If it's an option, first you decide whether this is a relationship that's salvageable. You know, is it worth it? Is there hope, or do you just want to walk away? You know, or is the jury still out and you still need to figure out more stuff until the answer kind of becomes very blatant to you? I always say consider the consequences and the payoffs, what you can get out of it and what are the repercussions as well. And if you decide to stay, definitely both of you have to do your work. That's a whole other show, but you and the other person have to do your work, both of you. Do it individually and together. When I have couples come in, I will usually ask them to continue or to do therapy individually and as couples. You know what? Give me a second. I'm going to have to extend this show a little bit longer because it's going to end in about 3 minutes. Give me 1 minute. Okay, I'm almost done, but I didn't want to leave anything out. Okay, going back. Okay, so like I said, if you decide to stay, both of you definitely have to do your work. You know, both of you have to be honest. And, you know, quite honestly, when this does happen, when there are things that can be pretty traumatic, but both people do their work and they have a commitment to each other and to the relationship, actually things can even deepen or even become better. That takes work, like I said. Therapy is a big thing, or spiritual guidance. Well, I'll just go on to the other ways of moving on towards healing. You know, make sure that you're able to express your thoughts and feelings, right? Many different ways to do that. Journaling is a really good thing. You know, turn to your trusted support system. And I'm big on writing a letter. I have almost all of my clients write letters, you know, and it's to just write everything out, whether you're going to send it or not send it. Just getting it out. It doesn't matter. It's about getting it out of your mind where it kind of stays floating around. You know, some people kind of have it floating around and then they kind of rehearse the things that they want to say, or and it just kind of just lingers. So what you want to do is kind of get it out onto something concrete, a piece of paper, or whether you do it on the computer, whatever. But you're getting it out of just where it floats around in your mind. Journaling, like I said, journaling is important because this is something where you can just kind of write to yourself. Write. Sometimes I'll write to God. Sometimes I'll write to myself. Sometimes I'll just call it journal, whatever I feel I want to do at the moment. And, you know, with that, expressing your thoughts and feelings, prayer and meditation is very big as well. There really is a shift in your neurological functioning. I mean, even the brain maps and research have shown that there is a shift in energy and the stuff that goes on in your brain when you are in a state of meditation or prayer. And meditation is not something that needs to be kind of studied, or it can just be kind of turning inward, focusing on something and reflecting, or just kind of calming your mind. There's many different types of meditation type experiences. Prayer is, you know, for me, I just talk to my higher power. I talk and listen, try to listen or feel for guidance. You know, going to therapy or counseling, again, spiritual guidance for those who don't really want to go through a psychotherapeutic type approach. Taking care of yourself, where, you know, nurturing yourself is so important, because a lot of times when we go through this, we kind of have just lost ourselves and we don't even know how to nurture ourselves anymore. You know, look for things to improve yourself, self-improvement. Many people are very gifted or talented with things, but they just kind of don't do anything with it. What I always have people, my clients do, is kind of make a list of all the things that, all their positive traits and all their things that they think they're good at, and explore, and then go into that and explore more in depth. You know, working out is something I often mention because of the actual, the activity, the workout itself actually, you know, affects our hormones and our endorphins. And so that is actually considered one of the number one tools for dealing with depression or anxiety. Think of ways of renewing yourself, you know, whether it's your look, your hair, your style, taking classes, joining groups, reestablishing old contacts that were positive and meaningful. I'm not necessarily talking about going back to past loves, because it's kind of many people kind of they romanticize an old relationship, and that's not to say all of them are off the table, but they'll romanticize old relationships because they're familiar and they'll remember the good stuff. But that's common for people to do. Yet, you know, you also have to look at the fact that, you know, why didn't it work out to begin with, unless you yourself have changed, right? You can't go into a relationship thinking that person needs to change. You have to look at your own stuff first. Let's see. You know, please be careful about projecting through life, kind of looking at people in ways that you think they will do to you what has been done to you before, or they'll do to you things that you have done to others. Projecting is basically thinking others are thinking of others or perceiving others in ways that you've either experienced or that you actually are yourself. Okay, and when you start to see patterns in a new relationship, the kind of red flag patterns, the things that you don't want, you know, make sure that you are able to start talking about it even early on, and even let them know, this is my experience. This is, you know, stuff for me. So please, you know, understand if I want to talk about it, because I don't want to sweep it under the rug. And if you do that, again, you can repeat that issues, or things can just mount and mount and mount and until it explodes. Resentment can build and you become more distant. So being able to have a healthy communication in a new relationship when you start to see patterns or things that are triggering you is important, right? You know, you have to give yourself time to grieve. Here I was talking about if you're in a new relationship, but the reality is just don't jump into another relationship, right? Sometimes you just need you need to give yourself time to grieve. It's okay to date. It's okay to go out and experience and be open, but just don't be so quick to jump into another relationship, because if you are, it could be based on kind of some neediness or desperation or wanting them to fulfill something in you. You're going to be reliant on them to make you feel better. You know, I always say healthy relationships are about when the other person can help enhance how you're feeling in a positive way. So you have to be able to kind of help create that for yourself. You know, and then there's this being open and not needy. Be open but not needy, and yet be discerning but not closed. So be open but also be discerning, right? Discerning is like really being able to look at things and try to utilize some of the stuff we talked about, some wisdom, to see things objectively, right? And find things that can bring more laughter in your life. You know, sometimes we can't make life change, but there are things that can help us feel good, and laughter does shift our energy. I've talked about things in other shows of how to shift your energy. You know, I've talked about nurturing yourself. What I used to love to do, well, I still do, is going to the spa or getting a massage. I have this incredible massage therapist, just amazing, and he's very generous with his time and his efforts of healing. So sometimes it can go on for 2 to 3 hours. So I'm very grateful for that. Spending time with those who you know love you and support you, right? You know, and so it's also very important that you find something to be grateful for, right? And that sounds so ridiculous when we're talking about being betrayed or disillusioned and fooled. You know, but what are some of the benefits? I mean, I honestly could say I feel good that I'm wiser, and you know, I'm stronger, and I mean, those are things for me. I like things that I liked more as I came along, as I go through life. I can still kind of see the BS a mile away. I may not be calling everyone on it, you know, here and there, everywhere, but I'm like my dad kind of says, make my own observations and discrete observations and research, and then act upon it. So things just, it's harder to get fooled or be betrayed or at least be affected by it, right? Because in life we still may be fooled or betrayed or disillusioned, but how it will affect us can make a bigger difference. And that I appreciate. I think I look at the things that I've, the positive experiences that I've, or even emotions that I felt during that time, you know, and I think I'm really cool. So I like that. I kind of learned the stuff, right? I don't want to carry a grudge or stay in a place of hate or bitterness. Yet there are some that I feel is important for me to stay away from. You know, I can kind of move on and get past it and not, like I said, carry a bitterness. But yet you have to kind of still be discerning of how you want them involved in your life, right? Now, again, there are people who can come back in your life and they have made some significant changes. You may have changed. And if that's something that you, or people who are currently in your life that have done things that were, where it's broken your trust, or you feel that they misrepresented themselves, or they weren't who they said they were, and you still want to kind of give it a chance, you know, go back to the stuff that I've talked about in terms of looking at the red flags, having the certain discussions, asking yourself those questions. Is it mutual? Are you seeing the actual changes? Are you doing work? And with that work, can things get better? And you're actually seeing things get better. Okay, so I guess in my last thoughts are, you know, I guess I just hope for people that in no way am I minimizing the pain that people, we can all go through when we feel that we've trusted someone or we believed in someone, and turns out that was a hoax or that you know, that trust or everything was compromised, or they were out to just kind of the very far from noble reasons, out to get what they wanted. And so, you know, the hope is that we can kind of still move on in life. We just are smarter. What's that bionic woman thing now? Is it bionic woman or $6 million man? Now I've come back bigger, stronger, faster, something like that. And that's the way I kind of want to look at it for myself and for others that I work with and I support. Can't stop all the bad stuff that happened to us, and we ourselves are not fully angelic in things that we may have done. I always say, don't do something that you don't want done to you. Temptation is great. Things can feel very exciting, you know, but integrity is important too. And so I'm speaking, this episode comes from a voice of those who have been betrayed, right? I'm not speaking from the voice of those who betray, although I did kind of touch on it. But anyway, you know, there was something that I had read. This was by Lynn Westry. I don't know, Lynn, if you're hearing this, but she said, I wrote in my Facebook, have you been able to overcome feelings of betrayal or being backstabbed, feeling disillusioned? And her response was, by praying for that person, because I found out that it's not about the other person, but about your own personal growth, right? Some people may not fully get that. I think that's a higher evolved perspective. And that is when someone actually really grows from the experience. And basically, I think what it's about is more of, it's something that you or that person needed to go through, right? Sometimes that can have more of a spiritual perspective, or even just looking at gaining different perspective in life by going through these things, by the betrayer and the betrayee. Again, what I go back to is kind of what we're going to do with it when it happens, because that's what makes the difference. What we're going to do in our life, or with our life, or with ourselves. And Silvana Marcetti Swafford, you know, she had read Lynn's posting, and she wrote, having mercy for those involved helps too. I think being compassionate definitely helps take away from bitterness and judgment. And so thanks for that. You know, there were other answers that were inboxed to me. However, I've covered them in what I was talking about. Okay, so thanks again. I wanted to just kind of give a shout out to all of those who supported and participated in the Royal event. I'm going to be having a show off of my weekly show, even though it hasn't been as consistent, but where I'm going to be kind of discussing some just very fun, royal-related, activity-related future events, and having some musicians call in and featuring some of their songs. So that's coming up soon. So thank you for everyone. That was such a loving night. I'll talk more about it in the show that I was just talking about. All right. You know, blessings to all of you. Sending out loving energy to all of you. Please be loving to yourself, loving to others. You know, if you struggle with feeling positive or lifted or good right now, because you're going through stuff, really try to nurture yourself. Really try to find the stuff about you that's wonderful. Don't look for validation from other people, but find the validation from within. Okay, and next week I hope to connect with you again and have a wonderful, wonderful week. God bless.